You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Ian, look at this.
What, it's a police box. What on earth is he doing here? Hey, these things are usually on the street. I feel it. Feel it, you feel it?
It's a faint vibration.
It's alive.
Earth Station Who? A fun mashup celebrating nearly 50 years of Doctor Who universe. Hold tight. You never know where the TARDIS is going next.
Who are you?
I'm glad you asked that again. Bit of adrenaline, dash of outrage, and a hint of panic knitted my brain back together. I know exactly who I am. I'm the Doctor. Sorting out fair play throughout the universe. Now please, get off this planet while you still have a choice.
Hey everyone, welcome to Earth Station Who. That's right, season 12 is behind us. And you know we always have to wrap it up here on the station. And it is going to be a very interesting conversation. We're going to do it a little differently. Instead of having everybody who was on with us this season all be in one room together, we thought it'd be kind of cool instead to just have me, Mike, and Mary just chat about it and, you know, give our thoughts about it. And then I went out and talked to each one of the folks who joined us individually. So it gives them a little more time and people not interrupting and stuff like that. And, you know, the people feeling like they've been left out. This is their chance to tell you what they thought. So it's pretty awesome that we're doing it this way. So this is going to be a longer episode of Earth Station Who. So
it's social distancing.
Exactly.
Podcast style.
Exactly. We're standing at least 6 feet away from each other. And in some cases, 600 miles away from each other. So it's even better in some cases. So it's pretty awesome. And we got a great crew here. Of course, my regulars are here with us. Let's first say hello to Mary Ogle.
Hi, everybody. It is great to be here.
Happy, Mary. You staying safe?
I am, or at least I'm trying. I mean, it's God knows it's a scary time. My mom's retirement community is practically on lockdown.
Oh, God, I can only imagine. Yeah. I truly can only imagine what's going on with that. That's tough. And then we, of course, we have the man who constantly is washing his hands, Mr. Mike Gordon.
Howdy.
Yeah, I see you've been hoarding.
Be too careful.
I've been seeing you've been hoarding all the hand sanitizer, of course, thing, and that's how he handles it. It's okay. It's cool. But, you know, hopefully everybody at home is safe, and this is just weird going on. And, you know, the cool thing about it is we have podcasts to listen to, and we have podcasts to produce. So it's a win-win situation for all of us. So it should be actually pretty darn awesome. And we definitely would love to hear from you guys at home. And hope let us know you're just doing safe or something. Please write us at earthstationwho@esonetwork.com. Definitely want to hear from you guys. Please definitely let us know how you guys are doing. Oh, man, there's just so much to talk about. And let's just jump in. Season 12 of Doctor Who. I almost said season 12 or Earth Station. Whew, God, we're not that far yet. Getting there, but not quite.
We'll get there.
Of course we will. But yes, season 12. Let's just jump in both feet. How do you think it ranks compared to Jodie's first season?
I think it's better than the first season, but I'm not sure that's saying much. I mean, I love Jodie. I'm not sure I'm thrilled about the direction Chibnall's going, but I would say series 12 was okay-ish. Had some good episodes, had some bad ones.
Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the lows were lower, but the highs might have been higher. I think overall, you could tell that they attempted to, if I may say, right the ship from the previous season. So there were some definite improvements in terms of, you know, using past characters and material from the franchise, as well as, you know, sort of mixing up the companions a bit. Now, I don't think they were entirely successful at it, but I do think that at least there was the attempt. I mean, you know, the one thing that we all noted and I think we're all noted, we are notable for this, is that we commented that last year there was just way too much Graham.
There's never enough Graham. Come on.
What are you talking about?
See? And I think even though he was present for all the episodes this season, they didn't really put it in your face. And I think the best beneficiary of that of all was Yaz.
Oh, extremely so. Yeah,
I agree.
I thought, you know, most of the companions started very weak this season, but I think Ryan throughout the whole season was non-existent. I think, you know, both Graham and Yaz started getting stronger, and then down the stretch, Yaz took it away, especially the last like four episodes. Mm-hmm. I thought she was great.
Unfortunately, what that meant, like if Yaz was getting more, more noticeable, more character time, then that meant somebody wasn't. And in that case, it was Ryan. It's difficult. Like, you know, I still am just baffled by the idea that they brought in three companions to begin with, because they obviously were not equipped to handle three companions. And that was a struggle this season. A lot of times you could tell they just took the companions as a whole and put them all off the table. So they weren't even part of the story.
Well,
just
that
let
was
Jody
whole-
be Jody.
That was the whole Jack thing right there with Captain Jack coming back. And
yeah, Captain Jack babysitter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, it was really interesting because there's some kind of writing dislodge with this. And I don't know if it's Chibnall. I don't think it's writers they bring on board. And they're, you know, for me, I thought it was some very strong stories this season. The Tesla one was amazing. I did like the Mary Shelley episode, at least the first part of it. And then the episode with the Jadoon was awesome. And, you know, I love how they pulled the wool over our eyes with that one. And I thought, you know, these had some of the best, you know, probably recent season stories, even since some of the Capaldi stuff in it with like the Tesla episode. And, you know, but it's just interesting to see, you know, how strong those were, but they had such a horrible episode with that damn vacation story. I thought,
or the one that will not be named.
Exactly. That was
definitely the low point.
That definitely was a low point. I think that's the low point almost of the whole new series. I'm going to actually even put it below the Absorbalot episode.
Oh, that's pretty low.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really
bad. I'm not going that low on that one. But, I mean, to each their own. I think you're right. I think for me, the high point was the Tesla episode. Followed pretty much second, I think, was the haunting of Villa Diodati. I like that as well. The only thing I didn't like about it is that it was just a prequel to the finale, which I wish it had not had that stuff in it, or at least been more committed to it. Instead, it was just sort of half and half. But I like the way that the characters interacted and that sort of thing. I'm not as high up on Fugitive of the Jadoon as you are. I thought it was kind of sloppy. And the others were just kind of there. Some of them had great potential. Spyfall had so much great potential. And it just didn't live up to it, as did, I'll say that about... Praxeus and then the finale. They had, I think, potential, but they just kind of fell. They were just kind of there.
Yeah, they fell flat. Well, what do you think it is? Do you think it's characterization? Do you think it's just clunky storytelling?
I think it's clunky storytelling, a lot of it, truthfully. There were so many holes in these stories. You could drive a fleet of TARDISes through them. It was just really bad, some of the holes they'd left open. And they just didn't think through things. And it just felt like Chibnall kept on throwing things against the wall. He got so many complaints last season about not being able to bring anybody back, about trying to go his own direction, and how almost completely it failed. It just felt like this season, he said, okay, you want old things? We're going to bring back old things. We're going to bring back Gallifrey. We're going to bring back the Master. We're going to bring back the Cybermen. We're going to bring back the Jadoon, you know, blah, 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 you know, type thing.
Yeah, I still don't think Chibnall gets Doctor Who. I mean, he's better when he goes dark. He's not good at balancing comedy and drama. And the scenes that should be heartfelt, they often come off as fake and contrived. He uses his villains like throwaway characters. And it's hard to become invested in the story when you do that.
And one of the criticisms that was laid across last season was that it had some, you know, Doctor Who now had an apparent in-your-face social and political agenda. And unfortunately, we all know it's always had to some degree. But unfortunately, when you don't have strong stories and you don't get great characters, you don't create great characters, guess what looks like it's like right out in the open? is the message, right? So we get these messages that seem like they're in your face and you know, they're hammering home and all that. But I think, you know, I think the, in a lot of cases, like, and I'll go ahead and name it because I didn't hate it as much as you do, but like Orphan 55, for an example, it was one of those ones where it could have been handled very well if the story and the characters had been better. But like that one and Praxia, so both of those, I think in particular, are ones that people are pointing to Doctor Who going, oh, that's too much. And I think in some cases they're right. Not that the message shouldn't be in there. It's just that you need a balance. And Chibnall he's having a hard time trying to get that balance.
No, I agree with that. I could definitely see, you know, what you're saying. And a lot of people are complaining about the social commentary, about hitting us over the head with it too. And I didn't mind it as much. Orphan 55 was a little too much. Praxeus, not as much. I actually enjoyed Praxeus. I thought it was actually a very riveting story.
Yeah, I don't mind the social commentary at all. I just want to have a good story along with it. I don't want that to become the centerpiece. I want it to be part of the story. Because when it becomes a centerpiece, then it just seems superficial. It just seems like you're lecturing. Mm-hmm. And instead of coming from a deeper place. And that's what I wanted to see with these stories. And I just don't feel like we got that most of the time.
So here's a question to both of you, because it was one of the things I was monitoring kind of throughout the season as well. Look, I know we all like Jodie, but this is the second series that she's been in. Where do you think she ranks now? As far as for you, as far as your favorite doctors, as far as being a compelling doctor.
I love her. I think she's awesome. I do not blame her for anything about the season. I think she's the shining light of these seasons. You know, she makes me look forward to watching Doctor Who. Half the time I'm going into it going, oh God, the story's going to be crap. But Jodie's there, so it's awesome. And
yeah, I love Jodie too. I love watching her. I think she's done great things with the character with very little help from the writers a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm, exactly. She lights up the screen. She lights up every scene that she is in. And which that's what you want from a doctor. And I think she captures that for me. Out of where does she rank against all the other doctors? For me, I think she's probably in my top five.
Yeah, she probably is for me too. Just for her alone.
Yeah, I can't put her there. And it's not I'm not blaming her for that. Because I just don't think that the writers have given her, I know it's really crazy in a season where, you know, they've kind of really made the Doctor story be in the front and center at the end. I still don't feel like they, I feel like in some ways she's got into a rhythm, but I still don't feel like we get enough Doctor moments. And I don't, like I said, I don't think it's her fault. I think just the way they're writing it, it's just, she doesn't get a chance to shine as much as I think she should. And so because of that, I, like, as far as my Doctors go, I, you know, and obviously she's in the top 10, so that's pretty easy. I can't say that I would put her in the top 5.
Okay, that's fair. And, you know, I'm sure people at home, you know, are going, what? You know, they're yelling back at us or such. And it's, that's the thing with it. It's, everyone has their own version. My favorite Doctor might not be your favorite Doctor. But the fun thing is, whenever I'm interviewed or people ask me, Mike, who is your favorite Doctor? I usually go, whoever is playing the Doctor right now. Except for Colin. Sorry, guy. Couldn't do it.
Hey, Colin's great. You didn't even say that then. Yeah, I mean, it's so, I have to say that so far my biggest emotion about the Chris Chibnall era is just frustration.
Yeah, very much so.
Like, yeah, there's an incredible amount of potential there. Jodie's great. I think Ryan could be fine if they just did something with him, but they just don't. I don't understand why they have three companions. I mean, that almost never works. It's very hard to give them enough to do. You don't have a lot of time to develop them that way. So it seems like a strange decision to me.
Do you think it was a matter of they were more concerned about creation than they were about actually creating characters that work?
That's a good question.
They're like, we have to make sure we have this, this, and this.
Yes, actually.
Because if we don't, then, you know, we're going to lose X, Y, and Z or something. I don't know whether, and who knows where this came from. I don't know if this was Chibnall's idea. I don't know how much leeway he has over his bosses in terms of, I would imagine the BBC has something to say about, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. But I don't think he has free range to do whatever he wants. I could be wrong about that. But there are definitely other people listed in the production as far as producers. So I would imagine that they have some sense as well. It's weird. Even though Chibnall is the showrunner, this year, since he's taken over, I feel like it's less his vision than the previous showrunners. Do you guys feel that too, or is it?
Well, I don't know
or
if it's less, feel like less his vision, or that he doesn't have a vision.
That's more what I'm thinking. I'm really thinking that it's more he does not have a clue about what makes Doctor Who tick, and he's just throwing things out there and hoping something sticks, and you know. It's just tough because I want Doctor Who to be innovative. I want Doctor Who to be great, but we're just constantly banging our heads against the wall and it's just falling flat in a lot of places. Because the bads in the series right now are really bad.
Yeah. I mean, there were some high points. I did like the season better than the first one.
Oh God, yes, I agree.
I did. I mean, I really enjoyed Tesla. I really enjoyed Villa Diodati, Flight of the Jadoon. I enjoyed the first part of the two-parter finale. I did not enjoy the second part, but you know, yeah. I don't feel like this is the worst thing I've ever seen or anything like that. I'm not going to walk away from Doctor Who or anything like that. But it's just, like I said before, it's frustrating because I feel like there's a lot of good ideas here and this could be something fantastic, but it's not getting there.
Where do you rank, taking aside the doctor and the companions? You know, we had a few recurring characters as well as other characters as a whole. What do you guys make of the new master, the Ruth Doctor, the use of the Cybermen, the Jadoon, all that sort of thing? Is there anything that that worked for you?
Yeah, I actually did not mind the master as much as a lot of people out there did. I actually was pleasantly surprised with the master showing up. I would have loved it if it was more the Missy master, but I would, you always can't get with that. And I was surprised when, the guy turned out to be the master, and that actually really surprised me. And it was just like, okay, that got me. Did I think his plans were typically, what we've said many times on the show, as always, not thought through? Yes. Yeah. You know, it's typical master. Is he more manic? I think he's a lot closer to the John Sim master than anything we've seen.
And I would have liked to have seen a more original master, like Missy was. To be fair, it was going to be hard being the master that came after Missy.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be difficult.
Very much so. And that's where I thought, I thought it worked. I thought the whole thing with him destroying Gallifrey. No, I thought that was stupid. And, we talked about that in our last episode quite a bit. It was in this episode, with this showrunner, they destroyed Gallifrey again when Moffat took so long to rebuild it back and bring it back. It's just like
what's I think for the most part, we liked having Gallifrey back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time when it was gone, but I think we all kind of wanted it back. And, say what you will, for better or for worse, it was brought back during Moffat's run. And, now it's gone again. Someone else is going to have to. And it's not going to be Chibnall. Chibnall's not going to bring it back again, I don't think. I doubt it. So in which case, it's going to be gone until the next showrunner, who's going to have to come up with some, silly excuse to bring it back, depending on what stories he or she wants to tell. Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I did not care for that aspect of it either. It just seems so pointless. Mm-mm.
And I think we all agreed the whole thing with him cyberizing the Time Lords was just ridiculous. Yeah. And it just didn't.
I thought that was okay.
I thought it was ridiculous. It was stupid.
I know you did, but don't say all of us agree, because we don't. I thought it was okay.
Okay, you are the one. So
I am.
You are the one. You're the chosen one. So,
like I said, if BBC out there wants to send me a what do we call them? Cyberlord, Cybermaster. What do we call them, those figures? Whatever garbage. Those figures are going to be, garbage. I'll take Mike's. I'll take two, please. But I mean. It's annoying that you would give this whole revelation to the Doctor about how she's been used and abused by the Time Lords, and she can't confront them now. Like, you take that story away from her. Like,
you kill the drama.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like, she never gets the chance to, like, so... that seemed ridiculous. It's like, it's like he wants to do these things, but people talked about Moffat and not having like consequences. Like, I don't think Chibnall's got any consequences with his stories whatsoever.
No, they literally ripped the carpet out from under the Doctor right there. And it was just like, That's just it doesn't make for good storytelling.
I mean, the only character of note in the two seasons that has died was Ryan's mom or grandmother, rather.
Grandmother.
Sorry. Right. Ryan's grandmother. And she comes back like every other episode. So it's like, you know, in some form. So, you know, that sort of like not death thing continues. Although I don't see Chibnall getting half the heat on it that, that Moffat got.
Oh, he's getting heat on it. It's just as much. I think
maybe it's just not in the top 10 of things to be hot about.
Exactly.
There's so much other things.
Yeah. There's so much more and everything. And like Mary, I did enjoy this season. I really did. And overall, I thought it was so much better than the last season. And, you know, I thought they bringing the Jadoon back was a great idea. I liked the whole being surprised, you know, when they said in Fugitive of the Jadoon, when they said, oh, there's going to be a game changing, you know, thing in this episode. And you saw Captain Jack come back and it was like, oh, Jack's back. That's awesome. It's great. And then they introduced Ruth Doctor. That was awesome. I didn't, and it's something, you know, I've noticed is I was surprised a couple times this season, just like, wow, surprised, which is pretty awesome. And I haven't felt that way on a TV show for a while because it's usually leaked.
Yeah. The first episode surprised me with the revelation of the Master, and in true, you know, callback fashion, third Doctor fashion, like the way the Master's revealed and his plot and everything is just amazing. But at the end, by the end of the episode, when he says to her, everything you know is a lie, that's when I knew things were not going to go.
It was going to be all downhill from there.
I was like, oh, God. And then, so we had that hanging over us. And then I think that affected my enjoyment or lack thereof of Fugitive of the Jadoon. I think that, that kind of affected even the haunting of Villa Diodati. Ascension of the Cybermen, of course. And that ends almost the exact same way. Like with the Master jumping through and all of a sudden going, hey, everything's going to change forever now. I'm like, ah, damn it. Here we go again. And then so constantly when I'm looking ahead at this series, I'm kind of not excited. I mean, we don't get Doctor Who again until New Year's Day. And it's a Dalek episode. I'm not excited, guys.
Yeah, I'm curious. In a comment on Facebook, but I'm just continuously reserving judgment.
Bingo. That's exactly
I
mean, right.
I try, but I'm not excited. You know, reserving reserving judgment is not being excited, right? I mean, we're not super excited for the next one. Even though it was kind of a nice cliffhanger at the end, having her go into the hands of the Jadoon. You know, like, oh, where's that going to lead?
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, right away.
Will it lead anywhere?
Exactly. Are they even going to? Yeah. Will it lead anywhere? And is it just, yeah. But we know that the main dudes, bad guys, are, well, we've been told anyway, that the next one is going to be a Dalek story. And I can't say that I'm, so yeah, here we are. And with the end of the season, and I'm like, oh, we're going to get season 13. And I wish I could say I was excited. Now, you know, we also have heard that there's going to be some change in companionship with the next season as well. So
yay. We
don't know exactly how that'll shape up or shake out. But is there any, like for me, I'm kind of the opinion that I wouldn't mind seeing the Doctor with Yaz, and that's it.
They're going to add one more. They're going to add one more.
Or completely wipe the slate clean. Is there anybody... Now, there was a lot of great candidates this season for people that I would enjoy more than the current companions that could join up. But where are you guys at as far as going into the next season, what you would like to see as far as the Doctor and the companions?
I think Ryan has to go. And I actually hate to say that because I thought his character had potential, but they never went anywhere with it. And I don't think they are going to go anywhere with it. So if we're going to lose a companion, I think it would be best to lose Ryan, because actually Graham and Yaz had some good scenes together. You know, I could see them traveling together, but Ryan just, it's just not working.
Nope, exactly. I'm not going to be sad to see Ryan gone. I'll be the first one to say it. I'll be like opening the door and going, bye, see ya. Have a good life. And, you know, they haven't done enough with his character. And, you know, they're already sowing the seeds for him leaving. There's been a couple different episodes where he's been questioning him being in the TARDIS and everything.
Yeah, they were almost implying he was going to leave.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a leaving thing, because if they kill him, nobody's really going to care. Yeah. Right? No tears for Ryan. Although,
that's the name of our folk album.
There we go.
I will say, though, if Bradley is still there and Ryan dies, Bradley's reaction alone will probably get me to tear up, because Bradley's so good. And look, I'm not saying I want a show without Bradley, because I think he's really, really, really good. But I think they've kind of taken Graham as far as they can as well. I just don't see him, like, you know, he and Ryan were so stuck with that, you know, we're missing, I can't remember her name now. You know, Ryan's grandmother. I can't even remember her name, but, you know, they were so stuck in that storyline the first season. In the second season, they didn't really address that. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Grace. They didn't even address Grace at all much, except she shows up a couple times. They didn't really have anything else. They were like, okay, we're not going to make that their only character trait. Let's do that. Have them do something else. And they couldn't think of anything else for them really to do. I agree that Graham and Yaz's scenes together were better than Graham and Ryan, or Yaz and Ryan. And so, you know, not really very difficult to see what the common denominator there is. I will say that Yaz was the one that came out the strongest. And I'm game. If anybody stays, I would say let it be Yaz. But I could also see being okay with just two, if you wanted to do two whole new companions.
I'll just wait and see, because the Doctor does need a companion, and I think the dynamic between Yaz and the Doctor has been getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the companions go, if we're only going to have one, I would prefer Yaz. I mean, maybe Graham would, you know, join them sometimes. It doesn't have to be all the time. But Ryan probably just needs to pull a Tegan and say, I'm done. I've had enough. I'm out of here.
Or even worse, do an Adric. Oops, did I say that? So.
Well, I think when Adric was killed, people cared. I mean, people cheered, but that means they cared, right? I mean, this would kind of be like, you know, when Danny died. Like, people are going to be like, I don't really care.
Yeah. Well, another character that went nowhere.
And it's a shame. You know, I think it's really shameful when these showrunners, creators, writers, et cetera, give us characters of diversity and then fail them.
I absolutely agree. Yeah.
That doesn't do anybody any favors.
Nope.
I mean, agreed.
That's not representation. That's what I've been saying all season. I don't want to just see faces. I want to watch stories that reflect different voices, different points of view that come from life experience that the mainstream media mostly ignores. And that is not what we got. But for the most part, we learned a little bit more about Yaz.
Which, you know, it's strange because, you know, I mean, Chibnall has gone out of his way to bring a lot of voices, directors, writers, people who've never worked on Doctor Who before, of all different, you know, shape, sizes, ethnic, that kind of thing. And yet, you know, it just hasn't clicked.
It makes me wonder if they're being constrained somehow.
Interesting.
You know, are they being given like rigid outlines to write from that they can't deviate too much from, or I don't know. But yeah, I'm surprised that there hasn't been more.
No, understandable. And that's the crazy thing about it is there should be more outcry. I agree with you, Mary, there, that there should be people, you know, saying stuff about this and complaining more. And, you know, maybe that's why the numbers are going down, because people are just tired of it. So,
yeah, sometimes, you know, people don't analyze why things suck. They just go, they suck. Mm-hmm. they just tune into something else. And as much as I'm critical of Doctor Who, this season and last season, I will say I'm still on board. I'm not even close to quitting. It just makes me passionately angry sometimes that they are squandering their opportunities. Because we know how great this franchise can be.
Oh, of course, we've seen the highest of highs, but we've also seen the lowest of lows. And man, there's been some lows.
We'll probably get into more of those as we review more of Classic Who.
Yes.
Yeah, I think. So it'll be very interesting to see where we go. And, you know, I'm very cautious. I'm going to be cautiously optimistic about what's to come. It sucks that we do have to wait now till New Year's. That just totally sucks. But I'm also, you know, we have a lot of other things we're going to do on the show. So people, do not beware. We are going to be here to help out with your Who fix.
I mean, you may not feel like analyzing it, but we will analyze it to death for you.
Exactly. So I think it'll be interesting to see. So now we've got quite a few people to talk to us about what their thoughts were. And now we're here with friend of the show, Robert McIntyre. Welcome back, Robert. It's been way too long, sir.
Way too long indeed, my friend.
Oh, so are you ready to talk some Doctor Who?
Always ready to talk Doctor Who.
So what were your thoughts on season 12?
My initial thoughts my thoughts are that it was better than the season 11, and it kind of picked up on the level where the season 11 special finished, the Dalek one. It kind of picked up from that. I really enjoyed the two-parter, the New Year's, and then onto the actual series. I thought that was excellent. I'm still a little bit unsure on the Master. I have a few thoughts about him and who he reminds me of a little bit. But all in all, I think the season was really, really good. It had more highs than it had lows, and it's really picked up. So I'm really happy with it.
So what were your highs and lows with this?
The highs... The Tesla story I thought was fantastic. I really enjoyed the season finale. The first part, I think your guys touched on it, the first part better than the second. Although I do agree with Howdy Mike. I want those Cybermen figures with the cape kind of things on.
Oh, with their big high collars.
Yeah, I really like those. The lows are often 19. I think you touched on that one. Was it Orphan 19?
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
Orphan 55.
Orphan 55, sorry. That were a bit of a low. I still find Graham annoying, and I still find Ryan annoying. I think Yaz has been fantastic. The Captain Jack cameo was great, and I love the undisclosed Doctor. And I'm not totally against the retconning in of the previous lives.
So you have no problem with the Timeless Children?
No, because things have changed. I mean, I remember them changing the Dalek origin in Tom Baker's era, from when they were first introduced, from what I remember, with Patrick. And then they changed the origins again when the Time Lords interfered with Dalek evolution. I have no problem with that.
So that's awesome. And it fits in. The only thing that, for me, that didn't fit in was, why did she have a police box if she was before Hartnell?
Yeah, my only thought is that Hartnell's, the TARDIS remembered it were a police box in Hartnell's era and just fixed itself as that.
Possibly. That's good. That is good.
Retconned it anyway.
Oh, of course. And you said you had some issues with the Master?
Yeah, he reminded me a little bit of John Sims' Master, the bit of a crazy Master. But more so, he reminded me of the Big Finish villain, is it the 11?
Yes.
Who used to talk to himself, because his previous reincarnations were still in his head, communicating with him. And I actually felt that when the Master wore talking to himself, it was like talking to his past selves, and it reminded me very much of that, the 11.
No, I could totally see that. I didn't even put two and two together with that. That's actually really interesting with that part of the Master's background, and I have theories about that, but you know, I talk about that elsewhere on the show, so it'll be very interesting to see where they go with it and how they evolve. Are you excited about now going to the next New Year special and beyond?
Yeah, very much so. I didn't look forward to last year's New Year special, but the Dalek story kind of lifted me up from that. So I was really looking forward to this year's New Year special, this is this year's New Year special. And I don't think the series has let me down. I mean, Doctor Who does have ups and downs, whatever Doctor you have and Doctor you love. I mean, I've recently been watching some of Tennant's, and some of the Tennant's aren't that good, but he's universally loved. So I'm cool with it going forward.
No, very much so. And where, you know, would you want to see any other past heroes or villains come back and join the Doctor? Or because it's out there that both Graham and Ryan are leaving the show as the New Year's special.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you guys said. I'd be happy for Yaz to stay. But if they decide to go a new companion, then I'm cool with that. But I'd like to see her with a female companion rather than a male companion.
Sure.
I think that's a better dynamic.
Sure. And, you know, what are your thoughts on Jodie this season?
I think Jodie's been fantastic. I did think she was good last year, but she was just cooking, as we say. This year, she really got into it, and I think she'll only get better. Some of the stories let her down, but all in all, I think she's a great Doctor.
Excellent. And that totally makes sense. And it's interesting to see with Jodie, her almost like now she's wearing the Doctor almost like another suit type thing. It's like she is the Doctor.
Yeah, she's a different Doctor from what she was in her first season. She's more confident. She's taking command. She's not like letting other people do things for her. She's the one. I mean, I think one episode she just said, this is my way. I can't always help people. We do it. This is what we do, and we do it my way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That was in the Jadoon episode. She was like, you know, we are so at the top, you know, in the stratosphere in yeah. trouble, you know, type thing. And you guys are down at the bottom of what we need to do. And I'm so glad she did that.
I'm disappointed that the Time Lords have been taken out again. But I mean, yeah. And any writer can always redo that, but I'm disappointed with that.
Well, like other people have said on this episode or previously, it's almost like RTD got rid of the Time Lord so that she could focus on the Doctor. And then Moffat took a long time to get the Time Lords back into continuity and everything. And now he's blown it, you know, with he's blown it completely out with the current showrunner.
Yeah. And, so. And going back to the question, I would like to see coming back. I would like to see the Rani.
Really?
That's yeah, been... I would, because that's been so long, and I just think we've done the Master to death. What if you're going to bring another Time Lord? And it wouldn't be a bad twist to have the Rani to have been regenerated into a man.
Oh, I never even thought about that. That would be. Can you imagine the uproar with that? What? No, the Rani's supposed to be, you know, and. Yeah. And it's like, hey, it happens. It definitely happens. So I'm definitely, you know, very curious. And I'm very happy to be able to talk to you and have you back on the show, sir.
It's been fantastic. Short but sweet, and enjoyed it, my friend.
Thank you. And now we're here with Dr. Scott Vigay. Welcome back, sir.
Hey. Hello, everyone.
So... Season 12 is in the vault. What do you think?
Well, I thought it was very ambitious. You know, they covered a lot, and any season that has Mary Shelley and Tesla, I mean, how could you not love that concept, right?
Of course.
I thought that was fantastic. I really enjoyed, you know, some elements. It was great. I think for me, the highlight of the whole season was when Jodie's doctor said that there was no more of this flat organizational structure. I have been waiting for 2 years for her doctor to kind of take center stage and be the star of the show, as it were. And so when that happened, I was very, very, very happy.
But it should have been the Graham show. Come on. Everybody knows that.
Graham was more the doctor than the doctor has been for 2 years. And that's, and I think the writers know that, and that's why there was the joke with Jack. And, you know, oh, by the way, seeing Jack Harkness again, how cool is that? I know that every showrunner tries to make their own stamp on things, and it's always a new era and stuff like that. And especially, there's always this give and take. How much are you tied to the show's past? Because at some point, you've got to make this accessible to new viewers, right? The population ages. You need to be able to get new people in. And if the first person who views this thing needs to know 60 years of backstory, that's not very accessible. So I understand why you want to do new shows like last year, where it was, you know, no recurring villains or anything like that. This felt a little bit more familiar because of the way that they handled that. A lot of recurring elements going way back, really. So that was also a lot more comforting to see. And then, of course, all the big changes that happened this year.
Of course, and that was neat. But it was almost like last season, Chibnall was like, nope, we're going on our own. We're not going to do anything you're familiar with or anything. And now this season, he's like, all right, let's throw everything against the wall and see what sticks.
Well, he's sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. I would hate to have his job, because there's no way he's going to make anybody overly happy, no matter what he does, right? Let's be honest about that. If he caters to us fans from the, you know, 60s and 70s, he's going to isolate the people that came to the show around Matt Smith's time. And if he goes completely off the reservation, then he's just going to, you know, we have a very vocal group out here that when we're upset, we're, you know, make it known, right? And so it can make his life a living hell. That said, it does kind of feel kind of like Kathleen Kennedy with Star Wars, so that, oops, went too far. Okay, you know, quick, backpedal. look, it's aliens that you know. Look, it's still the same show. So there was a little bit of a feeling like that for me this year.
Oh, very much so. I could understand that, you know, they couldn't appease everybody. And I think one of the things I want to get your opinion on is, what are your thoughts of how close to the vest they kept everything this season, that there were some pretty big surprises?
Oh, I thought that they've done a really great job with that. You know, part of the fun now is trying to figure out ahead of time what's going to be the big reveals each season. And when you have a show as beloved as Doctor Who, whenever the cast and crew go out and film, you know, the universe is watching. And everyone's decoding every little set piece of information. And quite honestly, there was a ton of stuff that happened this year that I had no idea it was coming. I mean, I knew about Tesla and Mary Shelley from, you know, things that the BBC released and stuff like that. But the new Doctors, and all that big reveal and the whole thing with the Timeless Child and the whole master plan for the season, that was great, including in speaking of the new master. When people get upset about, well, that can't be, or how does that work? At some point, I think Doctor Who left that behind. You have a character like the master, and every time we meet them, this is going to be the final death, right? Oh, I've done this, so now the regeneration is locked. Oh, this is this and this, and it's poison that's going to freeze the hearts before regeneration can set. But you know what? Somehow this master showed up somehow. Is he post-Misty? I don't know. Nobody knows. And they're not going to say, because they don't want to get, you know, put in a box, right? So Doctor Who has ceased to be logical in that regard, I think, just because it would be easier to go that route. But I liked this new master a lot. I thought he was just the right amount of crazy, and I'm not entirely sure what his big plan was, and he just seemed to backpedal from being a friend of the Doctor's again, so he makes you try to figure out where he sits in the line of Masters. But I thought, as a performance goes, I liked him.
Oh, okay, and what about the big reveal about the Timeless Child?
Okay, so I have no problem that they did it. Okay, so as the BBC said, they're creating an official origin story for the Doctor. And this is something that's been teased quite a lot. Moffat made a whole year of trying to guess that. And before that, Andrew Cardinal, with his Cardinal Master Plan, was trying to put more Who back in Doctor Who. And so the fact that this is the showrunner that got to really make it very clear, at least for now, whatever that is, I'm okay with them attempting it. I think for me, where it falls apart isn't in what they did, but in the ramifications of what it means. So for example, when it came to prior to this, even with the Moffat era, the Doctor knew what the big secret was, right? He was just keeping it quiet to himself. You know, his wife knew, but nobody else knew. You know, somehow his name was significant. His real name was significant. Or Sylvester McCoy's era, you know, he was more than just any other Time Lord, clearly connected to the origins of the Time Lord race and so forth. But more importantly, the Doctor himself knew. And Silver Nemesis, the statue, knew, right? And stuff like that. So there was this sort of, yes, there was this big secret. Yes, it went to the heart of the Time Lord Society, but the Doctor was a part of it and actively. Here, they robbed Jodie's Doctor of agency of that by having it not be something within her own memory. Now she's the damsel in distress more than anybody else. And that's, again, just makes her feel like the weaker Doctor. And she had that moment where she connected with all of her past and, you know, stopped the cyber Time Lords. But, and then let's talk about that. If she's not a Time Lord anymore, then the fact that Gallifrey is gone for the 15,000th time, what does it matter? Why do I care? Why does the Doctor care? The 10th Doctor was very popular with having his speech. You know, I'm the Doctor. I'm from Gallifrey, you know, in the constellation of Cerberus, and then I'm the oncoming storm. Now, none of that's true. And that also goes to Gallifrey again. I understand why they did it when the show came back. That, you know, Gallifrey was this big elephant in the room. Did we really need it? Which creates some mystery about it. Okay. And then for the 50th anniversary, Witz actually do something that's really awesome. You know, the destruction of Gallifrey has weighed heavy on our hero this entire time. Witz give him a present. This once everybody lives, right? But he's going to have to live with the idea that he did it, even though the most recent version knows that he didn't destroy Gallifrey. Okay, now Gallifrey is going to be in a pocket universe. But somehow, from the moment the Doctor was leaving the gallery with the Tom Baker caretaker, and the whole idea about where Gallifrey may be, and you might be going home, and all other stuff, none of that mattered. I mean, we never really went looking for it, and when we did find it, it was even more bizarre. And then we end up destroying it again, or it disappears in another pocket universe, never to be heard from again unless you desperately needed it to be. And now here we have the Master destroying all of Gallifrey just to destroy it, and now the Gallifreyans don't even matter. Nope. I think that's the biggest problem. And this Doctor doesn't seem to be curious enough to go looking. You know, the Doctor meets a brand new version of herself that she never even knew existed. And the way the episodes were written, there's no like, hey, maybe I should take a second and sit here and think about the ramifications of what does this mean? How does this, you know, my entire life isn't what I thought it was. Maybe I should be maybe just affected by that somehow. But at no time is Jodie's Doctor allowed to. This is not a problem with the actress. This is a problem with the writing. And therefore, this big reveal, she's not even a Time Lord. I mean, she's the prototypical Time Lord, but she's not even a Gallifreyan. So I'm not going to mourn Gallifrey's loss. And I'm not even sure we're going to go looking for where her origins are. And if we do, does it care? Does it matter? So there's a big bombshell, but it ultimately was a whimper meaning nothing.
Well,
I think that if the Seventh Doctor's big reveal were to happen and it was like the Other, or you know, he was, you know, part of the creation of Time Lord Society, you would cement that he is that important, but I don't know how important that would have been either.
No, it totally makes sense. And one of the things I was wondering about that nobody's even asked is, what are your thoughts of where the Timeless Child came from?
Oh, right. Well, okay, so my wacky theory, given the fact that we're going to create things that don't matter, I think ultimately the Timeless Child's society is the real Time Lords. I think that that's what it's ultimately going to be. You know, they're from the Prime Universe, and this is a Beta Universe, and they're from the real Gallifrey. I think that's what ultimately is going to be, because they're going to have to undo this somehow without throwing Chibnall's entire run under the bus, right? They're going to pull a J.J. Abrams Star Wars Episode 9 and find some way to make this nonsense, you know, match what everybody else is more comfortable with at some point, if they care. I mean, you know, they do 3 episodes a season, and then they wait a year and a half before the next episode. So continuity and continuation, it's not big on the BBC's docket right now. So who knows?
Oh, of course, of course. What are your thoughts of what's to come?
I think that what that sets up is that now anything is possible. There's now infinite number of past doctors. We'll never worry about a regeneration limit ever again, or begging Time Lords to give him another cycle. I think all of that, if we are to believe what we just saw, the fact that the Time Lords gave him another cycle is nothing more than just to further the whole charade, right? So the limit was only in our head to begin with. So I think we're going to have infinite number of doctors, infinite number of past doctors, and that'll be great. You'll have, it will be like Curse of the Fatal Death. You'll have celebrity actors getting to be the doctor for an episode that may pop in. You know, that'll happen. And I think that as far as past goes, I think we've just kind of blown the door wide open on that. And whatever showrunner comes next will be able to do whatever they want next. And until at some point the novelty of that wears down. You know, like I said, I know that it was a rather big backlash to this and the BBC defended their boy. That's great. I mean, I'm glad that they defended their employee and that they're happy with what they did. I would hope so. But I don't see it being attractive to longstanding fans because we like knowing what came before and believing we know what's going on.
Yeah, but there always was some kind of mystery to Doctor Who, you know, and everything, especially why did the Doctor leave Gallifrey and stuff like that. And now we're getting more into, you know, well, the Doctor left the Gallifrey many times sent by the Time Lords.
Blah, well, you know, and it's so, I mean, like I said, at that point, which life does he, you know, are we talking about? Are we talking about the William Hartnell, you know, thing? That's one consistent amount of life that the Doctor remembers. But I mean, what they ultimately did with this retelling is they turned the Doctor into Moses, a baby left in a basket to be adopted, right? To then be, you know, then be the leader of her people.
We will call her Moses.
I mean, didn't you get that sense a little bit with the basket and the, you know, and the discovery, and then, you know, I mean, it just, I don't know, just like Superman has a Messiah complex storyline, they've kind of created an origin story of biblical proportions, because now if the Doctor was an infant when she left her home dimension or whatever that is, then it wasn't by any choice of her own, right? If you have the William Hartnell Doctor, after so many centuries of living on Gallifrey, taking what family he's got left, him and his granddaughter, and whisking away and stealing a TARDIS, well, that, you know, that's a upright citizen act of rebellion, right? Choosing to be a renegade. And there could be a lot of reasons for that. There could be political reasons for that. There could be a lot of reasons that he's standing up for a cause. An infant that gets thrown into the vortex, again, you're robbing Jodie's Doctor of that agency. You know, now she's defined by that, and it wasn't by any choice that we can think of. And in fact, was manipulated continuously by other people. I think that's what I am railing against. I really wish the Doctor had known about it. You know, let them do exactly what they did, but, you know, have the mental block go away and have the Doctor finally absorb all that and realize that she knew about it all along or something along those lines, just so that she could own it, right? And I think the fact that they did it this way, she's going to forever not know. There's nobody alive that we, unless they can all regenerate endlessly, and unless she goes actively looking for her past. But, you know, there's not going to be any real drive for that. If there was, they would have looked for Gallifrey more often when Gallifrey was back in our pocket universe, you know? So I think it's going to be this big blast that means ultimately nothing.
Well, of course. Well, Scott, I do appreciate getting your point of view, and thanks for joining us throughout the season and once again for this.
Oh, you're welcome. I know I'm overly critical, I guess, but it just means I care.
Exactly. And, you know, let's keep on caring about Doctor Who. Now we're here with Felicity. Welcome back.
Thanks, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Oh, it just seems like you were here yesterday, doesn't it?
It does seem like that. I've been talking a lot about Doctor Who lately.
That's a good thing. It really is. And so now that the season is over, have you had time to a little bit contemplate your thoughts on it and everything?
Yeah, I think, you know, my general thought is, why couldn't season 11 have been this good? I mean, it seemed like Chibnall had a long time to work on it, and I just felt, you know, last season, like, all the scripts needed a couple more drafts to work the bugs out. But I felt like this season, apart from really one story, was really very strong overall, and even Chibnall's scripts, you know, my favorites tend to be the stories that other authors write. I thought Chibnall's scripts, especially as they were kind of pushing along the arc of the season were much better than last season. So I just wanted to know overall, basically, you know, what happened, what happened to improve things so much. I can't, you know, can't complain, but I wish that we had seen this quality from the start.
Did you feel the consistency more this season, like you started talking about? And did you feel like the stories flowed with each other, or were there ones that stood up for you?
I think that the consistency was pretty much there. I think no one really likes Orphan 55, and it was a bummer to have that right after a very strong two-parter to start off the season. But I did feel, and, you know, there still wasn't like a full season arc or really a lot of flow between some of the stories. You know, we had all the big revelations in Fugitive of the Jadoon, and then the next couple stories just kind of went back to individual storylines for their episodes. So that was maybe just a little bit jarring, but I think on the whole, in terms of the where the companions were at and their storylines, I thought that there was kind of more of a flow and less emphasis on Ryan and Graham's relationship, which was nice because we finally got a little bit more of development for Yaz.
Oh, exactly. I thought especially like the last half of the season, Yaz really stood out.
Yes, and that is a good thing, especially if we have her continuing, which hopefully we do.
Well, that gets into, I know they've been talking about that Bradley and, how do you pronounce his name? Tobin?
Tosin.
Are going to be leaving the show.
That's my understanding, and it makes sense that if their storyline is kind of coming to a close. I actually thought, you know, there seemed to be a lot of foreshadowing in the season finale that someone was going to depart a little sooner and possibly in a not happy way, but we'll see what happens in the holiday special.
Exactly, because that's where we have the Daleks coming back.
Mm-hmm. I almost feel like the Daleks are kind of overkill at this point. I mean, I mainly want to see how does the Doctor get out of this Jadoon prison?
Oh, exactly. And, you know, what the Daleks find out about it and blast them out type.
That would be interesting if the rescue was carried out by rogue Daleks or something like that. I don't know. I haven't even really speculated on it just yet.
Nah, too soon.
Too soon.
And, you know, it's not like we don't have to wait till New Year's. So.
Right.
So, you know, what are your thoughts now? We have two seasons of Jodie. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about her as the Doctor?
I've always liked her performance. I felt like in the previous season, not all the stories really served her character that well. I think partly it was the focus on Ryan and Graham and their relationship. And Bradley Walsh, as much as I love him, he's just such a strong actor and strong character that he kind of dominated a little bit and didn't give as much room for Jodie to develop her Doctor. I do feel like they tried to make the Doctor a little more front and center this season while still giving the companions things to do and tilting it a little bit more toward Yaz. So, I mean, Jodie has always impressed me. I think that, but I think she really kind of more solidified into her character this season. And so maybe it's taken a little longer than it has previous Doctors who hopefully by the end of their first season, I'm thinking of Capaldi, for example, like really, you know, he's been questioning all season, am I a good man? And he really kind of finds the answer in the end of his first season, whereas it maybe took Jodie a little bit longer, but especially with all the all the things she learns about herself this season, it was appropriate that makes a big impact on her.
Oh, very much so. And, you know, you've talked about some of the strong points, but you also touched on weakness and such. Was there anything that didn't work this season for you?
I really think it's down to some scripts. And I can really only point to Orphan 55 as being, you know, the low point, whereas I found several low points last season. There were stories that didn't grab me as much. I think maybe because I was, you know, after Fugitive of the June, I was expecting more. Praxeus didn't really do it for me, but I think it was a well-plotted episode and had a lot of interesting stuff going on. It just didn't really necessarily work for me. I liked the historical stories this season, just like I did last season. So the Tesla story and the Mary Shelley Byron story, I thought were both really good.
No, that's awesome.
Great guest actors.
Oh, the actors they had this season. Wow. You know, it's just amazing who they've gotten and everything. And I thought that was part of the strong point is the supporting casts they've had. There was also a few of them that I thought, you know, they would make great companions.
Definitely in the Spyfall Part 2, we had a couple of historical characters, Ada Lovelace and Noor, who almost seemed to be set up as companions for that story. And even the Doctor's companions made a comment about it when she showed up with them at the end.
It's like, are those our replacements?
Yeah. And I thought that, I mean, Tesla was certainly a very interesting character, but Yaz worked so well with him. I thought, oh, maybe Yaz will go be Tesla's companion for now.
That's the episode I thought she started stepping forward.
Definitely. She was taking more of an active role, and in Praxeus too, though I wasn't as enthused about that episode, she was really brave and taking charge and taking risks in that episode.
No, totally understand that. And that's what was cool. And, you know, so the big question now is, what are you going to do till Doctor Who comes back?
You know what? I've never complained too much about there being gaps in between Doctor Who seasons. And if we can have another season as good as this one and so many surprises that we don't see coming, then I'm willing to let Chibnall have the time that he needs to bring it together.
Oh, sure. Totally makes sense.
And we have Westworld just came back. I'm totally on board for that. And there's always other TV to watch. We have time now, of course, to explore a lot of the streaming series. And we've always got a big backlog of shows that we want to watch. So I'll just concentrate on that.
That is awesome. Well, Felicity, thank you as always for joining us.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, and now we are here with Kirby. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us again after the episode that you reviewed with us. I wasn't sure if you'd ever speak to us again.
Oh, I enjoyed talking about the worst episode ever.
Well, it was a lot of fun. And now we're really curious on what your thoughts are on the rest of the season.
Overall, I loved it. It was a lot better than Series 11. A lot better.
We're getting that from a lot of people.
And there were a couple of good stories. I keep wanting to say last year. It wasn't last year. What, 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. It's hard to wrap my brain around these long gaps. But I really enjoyed it. There were three stories that were below average. A whole bunch of middle of the road, just good Doctor Who. And then to me, there were two excellent, excellent stories.
Well, sure. Of course. And, you know, what made the season so much better for you?
It was more Doctor Who. It wasn't all the touchy feely thing. The last one, and they gave the companions stuff to do. It wasn't the Ryan and I've gone blank.
Graham,
yes. Ryan and Graham show.
No, they actually gave Yaz stuff to do.
Yaz got stuff to do, which was a lot better. I mean, Yaz didn't even have anything to do in her series 11 story, which was strange. The Punjab one.
Oh, the one that was supposed to be all about her.
Yeah.
And her family.
Yeah. And she didn't really have much to do in that one. And this time, the one thing I liked about, I believe, it was Praxeus, was her really being out there and being basically a junior doctor. And oh, it's not a real planet? I didn't really discover a planet. The plastic under the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. She was so disappointed.
That was basically the only thing I liked about Praxeus. unfortunately. It's second worst in my listing of show, of stories. And I also split the two parters.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just go backwards with the stories if you want.
This is your segment. Go for it. Okay.
I have ranked Orphan 55 number 295 of 295 Doctor Who stories.
Wow. You mean it's worse than the Absorbalot episode?
Okay. I'm one of the people that happens to like that one.
Okay.
You'll find about half, I'd say about half of Who fans like that one. It's worse than what was the first real Colin story?
Oh, was it Twin Dilemma?
The Twin Dilemma. Twin Dilemma, I like parts of it, but it's pretty strange. Okay, so Orphan 55, we've gone over that one. Praxeus is number 9. And it just didn't seem to have a lot of focus. And the poor guy got pecked to death on the beach and no one cared.
Nope.
So that was number 9. Number 8, even though I liked the animated segment, was Can You Hear Me? I really didn't need a mental health story.
Okay.
Not for Doctor Who. I mean, someone I know has some problems, and I didn't want them to even watch it. They sometimes watch with me. And no. Then number 7 was Spyfall Part 2, which to me, Spyfall Part 1 I loved. It's close to the top, but Spyfall Part 2 did not fulfill the arc that I wanted. The web guy just, that didn't really seem to go any place. There was no resolution to the light creatures, really. It was just kind of, the whole thing was just kind of resolved too quickly. It just, Spyfall Part 1 ended great, but Spyfall Part 2, no.
Okay.
Then Ascension of the Cybermen was my number 6. It was a lot of exposition to go into Timeless Children, but it was kind of unnecessary. It would have been better if they had made a longer story of shorter Ascension and longer Timeless Children.
That makes sense. Okay.
Number 5. I mean, these are the middle ones. They're pretty much interchangeable. Haunting of Villa Diodate, I really liked that one. The biggest problem I had with some of these middle ones was I had to watch them twice before I liked them. Like Ascension and Cybermen and Haunting of Villa Diodate, I didn't like when I first watched them, and they moved up when I watched them the second time. Which Doctor Who should not do that. Chibs, write it so you enjoy it the first time through.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to watch it and say, you know, that actually was a good episode.
Yeah.
Or
I didn't get the Castro Valvanus of the house at first.
Right.
And then watching it again. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. It makes sense. Number 4, was Nikola Tesla.
Of course.
A lot of people, particularly on our podcast, 20 Megabyte, a lot of people put that one further down the list. And I happen to like it.
I thought it was one of the best stories of the season, truthfully.
Yeah, but, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
So, my number...
To each their own, as we like to say.
Yeah. My number three was Spyfall Part 1. I thought it was really getting the season off to a good start. And I love this master. I really love this master.
You like that he's just crazy?
Yeah, well, he's not as crazy as Missy. If I had to rank masters, Delgado is, of course, the master.
Of course.
Missy's not one of my favorites. I know a lot of people like her.
Okay. So anyway, what's your couple, your favorite ones?
My number two, obviously, there's only two there. It's hard to decide, but Timeless Children is number two.
Wow. Okay.
I loved it. It did not change Doctor Who. I didn't listen to you guys talk about Timeless Children yet. I don't know what your opinion was, but I liked it. I didn't have any problem with where Chibs is going with things. It does not ruin Doctor Who. Everything's fine. I also have my own opinion that I don't think the Doctor is that child.
No, I have my opinion on that.
I think that it's the Master.
You think so?
Yeah. And he's trying to, he's pushing it. He's trying to trick her. So, obviously, number one, Fugitive of the Jadoon.
Oh, yeah, that was the mind blower.
That was such a mind blower. And to hit us with two things at once. It just, okay, hit us with Captain Jack, and we're not expecting the real mind blower.
Yeah.
It's just, okay.
You thought Captain Jack was the mind blower, but yeah. No. Chibnall had a really hit.
I was spoiled by Captain Jack because deliberately, I must say, while it was being broadcast in Britain, I was following it on Twitter. If you've ever watched Doctor Who by seeing what the Twitter comments are, it's bizarre. And so I saw the comments of Captain Jack and go, oh, okay. And then he himself spoiled it on Twitter a few minutes after he appeared, of course.
Of course.
And then people were freaking out once Dr. Ruth showed up. And I didn't understand what was going on because, of course, I didn't have any video.
No, of course.
That I didn't quite understand. So I didn't, it was later that night that I was blown away. And of all of the stories this series, I think I've watched Fugitive 6 or 7 times, which is more than any of the others. Usually wow. I watch every story twice. Even Orphan 55. Ugh. But, and some of the middle ones I watched, like Nikola Tesla, I think I watched 4 times.
Okay. Makes total sense. So what do you think of Jodie as the Doctor?
Great.
Okay. Are you happy? Do you feel like she's fit into the role more, that she's made it her own?
Not exactly her own yet.
Okay. Because, you know, like some people like have what we like to call the Doctor moment.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you don't think she's had it yet or?
No, she was the Doctor within seconds of her appearance in Woman Who Fell to Earth.
Gotcha.
It's just that she's tending to, I don't think she's actually got her own doctor in there yet. She seems to be channeling a combination of Tennant and it's almost like Tennant, Capaldi, and Smith at times.
Gotcha.
It's odd. She needs to, and there's too much crouching and scowling
Okay, gotcha. Well,
still, I like her. I like
her. Okay, so you overall had a really good feelings for the season.
Yes.
That is awesome. You
know, looking forward to, I hope that we have, well, obviously we're going to get more of the Dr. Ruth stuff. I'm pretty sure, because if we're dealing with what, for whatever reason, the doctor is in Shada, it has to be Shada, and the Jadoon are still working for I keep wanting to say the CIA, the Celestial Intervention Agency. I don't remember what they're calling them now.
Right. The Gallifreyans, just say.
Yeah. So that's all going to come back together. And we're
going to
have much more of Ruth Doctor. And wouldn't it be cool if we have a couple of stories with them working together?
That would be awesome. I really look forward to that. You know, I hope you got that right, dude. I really do. Well, thank you for joining us, Kirby, as always.
All right. Thanks for having me.
And now we are here with Jen Allen. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me back.
Jennifer, the big question. We had you on at the beginning of the season.
Yes.
How does the rest of the season go for you?
I had it ups and downs. I liked Fugitive for Jadoon. That was probably my favorite episode of the season. Orphan 55, not so much. A few in there, like they met up with, you know, Mary and Percy Shelley and Nikola Tesla and all that. That was cool. But it was very seesaw-y. There were good episodes. There were bad episodes. I felt that it wasn't very consistent.
Okay. That totally makes sense. That's what a lot of folks are saying. And you said the Fugitive of the Jadoon. What made that one so special for you?
Just the introduction of the fugitive doctor. It leaves a lot of like, oh, where does she come from? And how does she fit into the doctor's regenerative, you know, lifespan? They still have that up in the air, and it would be nice to learn more about her. Kind of like how we learned about the war doctor and so forth.
No, totally understand that and everything. And so what flowed, what didn't?
I liked that, again, this season wasn't the Graham show like last season. That was a big thing. Yaz got to do a bit more. Unfortunately, the other two companions kind of fell to the background because of that. I liked the new master. I think he's awesome. We still need to figure out where he fits in the master's regenerative cycle. Hopefully they'll go through that in the next season. And of course, Jodie Whittaker is brilliant. I love her. I felt pretty consistent throughout the season.
Oh, totally can understand that. I think she really fit into the role this season more than even last season.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I totally understand and such what you were saying about, you know, the companions and such. It even felt more so later in the year than at the beginning.
Yes, agreed.
And the chemistries were working a little bit more and such, but some majorly fell apart and everything. What mm-hmm. was your thoughts on the whole timeless child thing? And you could tell everyone what you really think, if you liked it or not. It's okay.
I did not like it. It felt like Chibnall was basically going, I write fan fiction for Doctor Who, and I'm making it canon.
Okay. Sorry,
but that's how I feel.
No, that's totally fair. And that totally makes sense in a lot of ways because, you know, this is his show now, and, mm-hmm. you know, he destroyed Gallifrey again.
Uh-huh, yeah. But then he went, oh, by the way, the whole regenerative thing, that was actually spliced DNA, and it wasn't actually innate to the Time Lords, and blah, 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 blah. And the Timeless Child, spoiler alert, is the Doctor, and this, that, and the other thing. And essentially, then the whole, like, the Time Lords were Cybermen. Like, what the hell are you doing, dude? It didn't make any sense. Oh, my head hurt.
You know, you're not the first person to say that, so it's okay. And okay. Everything. How do you feel about how they wrapped up the season?
we'll see what happens with Revolution of the Daleks in Christmas time. But I don't know. It left more questions than answers, in my opinion, as far as where the Doctor comes from, where the Master comes from, where the Time Lords come from, and so forth. It's kind of like, okay, because half of the canon that's been in the show throughout the whole thing, like, we now know that Hartnell is not the first Doctor, and things like that. And I'm thinking down the line, this is going to mess up Hall of River stuff. And so forth. He's basically taken a lot of lore and kind of thrown it over his shoulder.
How do you think it could ruin River stuff? I'm just curious.
As far as when she meets up with him, it changes a few perspectives of things. Because you remember, they meet each other in reverse the whole time.
Of course.
So I'm thinking about, like, how will this affect some stuff with Tennant going forward as far as her. I don't know. I just have this feeling it's going to mess up her whole thing as far as running into the Doctor and her interactions with him. And, you know, I would love to see her meet the newest Doctor and find out, whoa, he's a she. But
I don't think it would matter to her.
No, truthfully. No, but true. That's, you know, true.
That's just the way she rolls.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think that's pretty awesome. And, you know, do you think, you know, the show's in good hands now, or are you kind of worried where it's going to go?
Well, the ratings have gone down, I found out, from series 11 to series 12. And it hadn't gotten this low since, you know, the Seventh Doctor. You know, and that was why it was canceled, because it got really low ratings and it was getting really bad press and the plots were crap. If you watch that era, I didn't watch that. I had actually stopped watching when Colin Baker was on. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm worried. I mean, they're going to probably do one more series and see where it goes. And obviously they got the Christmas special coming up, but I don't know if they'll have a series 14.
I'll be very interested to see where it goes with that. Mm-hmm. And, what are your thoughts? Cause, you know, they've said that both Graham and Ryan are leaving the show at the New Year's special.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. What are your thoughts? Do you want to see Yaz stay, or do you want to see all three go and fresh blood in with the Doctor?
I like that Yaz got a little bit of an arc this year. Well, she had a little bit of an arc last season with, you know, running into her ancestor and all that, but they've kind of lost the fact that she was a police officer and all that. That's kind of gotten lost in the mix. I'd like for them to go back to that, but Ryan didn't really have a lot to do this season, and I kept thinking him and Yaz were going to, like, build on their friendship, and besides Spyfall, not really. Graham has kind of fallen. I mean, remember last season, it was mostly about him and his interactions with everybody. And I think he's finally gotten tired of the show. I don't know. I mean, Bradley Walsh is a great actor, but I think he's finally going, you know what? No, this is good. I'm good.
Oh. Does because of what happened this season make you sour on Doctor Who that you might not watch it anymore?
Well, to be fair, I actually stopped watching about halfway through Capaldi's run because, again, Clara. But we've already discussed that.
Oh, yeah. We've totally talked about that.
I liked when Bill was on. I liked Bill as a character. So I watched a little bit of when she was on. But I think the writing had taken a major downward turn after Clara left. Nothing to do with Bill. I think she's a great actress, the actress who played her. It just got to the point that I was not liking a lot of the episodes anymore. Nothing against Capaldi. Capaldi's a great actor. I mean, in the cut, watch it. You'd have to watch it at least once, because hearing him say, fuckity bye, is the greatest thing ever. But I think at this point, Moffat had kind of, I don't know what happened, but his scripts and so forth, I think just show just took a downward turn, probably about second season of Capaldi. And I don't know. And I was like, oh, great. And they're finally getting another one and it's going to be a girl and it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And they have they're putting more diversity in with all these other actors of different races and all that, and having Yaz on the show and everything else is great. And Ryan and so forth. And I was so hopeful because I liked the first episode of series 11. I liked it. It was cool jumping off point. And I was like, Jodie Whittaker's going to be awesome. And over the course of the season, I liked the Rosa Parks episode, and I liked the episode in India. Other than that, I didn't really like much of Series 11. And then Series 12, Spyfall, was great. I loved it. There were a couple of bad points to it, but otherwise, it was pretty solid. And I love the new Master. He's awesome. And then okay. Orphan 55 was right after that.
Yeah. I do understand that. Totally understand that. So, okay. Here's to bigger and better things, right, Jen?
Right, exactly. Yes.
Well, thank you again for joining us on the podcast.
Well, thank you. I'd love to be on more if you'll ever have me.
Hey there. We're now here with Alan. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Always a pleasure to be here.
So we had you on the Tesla episode, and Now the season's done. Let's figure out, you were very optimistic about where the show was going and everything. And
was I?
Yeah, you were kind of.
Okay. Well, good for me.
Exactly. except for one of the episodes. We all hated that one, but we're not talking about the doctor on vacation or anything like that.
Well, so the one that I was on was talking about Tesla, and that was still pretty early in the season.
Exactly.
So yeah. And okay. That makes sense. That makes sense.
You were a little iffy on the Master, if I remember. And I'm curious to see. So tell me about what do you think, how the season proceeded and went through?
Well, okay.
And don't pull any punches. Don't worry.
Okay.
You're amongst friends.
Oh, good to know. Well, I wasn't really that dissatisfied with series 11. A lot of people were, but I kind of enjoyed it. It was nice to have a fresh start with no returning monsters or villains. It was nice to have a season with no story arc and all that kind of stuff. And it was nice for me personally. It was nice to see a return to, like a multiple companion setup. All that stuff is stuff that I really enjoy. And it seems like series 12 was a huge turnaround. Like it was a complete 180 on everything. And Chibnall just threw everything he possibly could at the screen, almost like a desperate, please like what we're doing kind of move.
Sure. I could see that.
It was a little hectic and a little, overwhelming at times. And it was like, it would give you whiplash how much stuff would, be thrown at you. And it was kind of crazy. There was a lot of good stuff that happened during it, but when you kind of take it all in at one thing, it's like, holy smokes. Like, where are you trying to go with all this stuff?
Oh yeah, of course. And it did feel like, because last season it felt like Chibnall was completely staying away from anything that was familiar to Doctor Who. And this season he said, screw it. People were complaining about everything. Let's throw everything in. And hey, while we're at it, let's change canon.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was interesting how he did that. And when he did, some of the things worked. I'm not going to say it didn't, but I think some of it, fell flat on its face.
Okay. What's something that you thought did not work?
I am going to say, some of the, there's little inconsistencies and holes that didn't work in the season. I liked the whole idea of the lone Cyberman. And I thought, oh, this is awesome. And the thing with the Siberium. And I thought that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. And then when they went in and they surprised us because they brought the lone Cyberman in a lot earlier than they thought they were going to. I thought it was going to be the final two-parter. But no, it was in the Mary Shelley story.
And I will say, I think that may be the best episode so far of Chibnall's run. And I thought, you know, it's a really, really, when you have something that's returning as, you know, that's been around as long as the Daleks or the Cybermen, you always want to try and kind of come up with some new angle for it. And I thought that what they did in that episode was really, really inventive and really interesting. I thought it was, and plus not only that, but it was probably the most, the moodiest and most atmospheric and most creepy episode that they had done so far. I thought it was so good.
Oh, exactly. It was a very good mood piece.
Yeah.
But it almost felt like that story was two different episodes. It felt like it was a very big mood piece and everything. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they threw in the Cyberman.
But see, to me that worked. I thought that really worked. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of like a lot of things that happened in this season seem like retreads of things that have been done before that Chibnall kind of like, you know, co-opted and put his own spin on. And of course, Big Finish had already done, you know, Mary Shelley gets her inspiration for Frankenstein from a Cyberman. It's not new territory.
Yes and no, because I've been doing some reading and some research. A lot of the people who watch Doctor Who don't listen to Big Finish.
Oh, I know that.
And so
that's very true.
And so this is all new to them.
Oh, of course.
And so even when, you know, they brought back the Eighth Doctor for the mini, and he mentioned, you know, Charlie and a couple of other companions, people are like, who, you know, type thing.
I know that's
all of us. All of us were geeking out and we're like, oh, Big Finish. Yeah. That's awesome. It's canon now, you know?
So. Sure. All I'm saying is that Chibnall gets his ideas from somewhere.
Oh, very. No, I agree.
He is guilty of mining the rich vein of ideas that Doctor Who has presented in the past.
Right. And that episode you were mentioning with Mary Shelley, that was a true spooky episode. Mm-hmm. I love the mood. I actually loved the companions. And
yeah, you know, agreed.
And for me, some of the weak parts are in the season still were the companions. I thought, I was really happy they did not shine completely on Graham this season.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ryan was still a waste this whole season. And, you know, I think the one who really shined this season was Yaz, especially later in the season.
Yeah, definitely.
And I could definitely see now that they've announced that Bradley and Ryan are leaving.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to most likely be Yaz staying too, but I've also heard she might be leaving. So I'm not.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. I hope that's not. Well, I mean, I wouldn't mind having a complete new set of companions, but I would like to see Yaz continue on with one new person.
Mm-hmm. Not too.
I think that would be fun.
Exactly. Not too many people. I think that would work really well.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I said things fell flat, I just thought mostly what fell flat was the story holes. And there were a lot of them, especially the last two-parter. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, there were things. I've gone back and watched that like 3 times. Mm-hmm. And I like it more than some people do. And, and you know, I didn't mind the Master. I didn't mind the Cybermen. The thing that still gets me to this moment is the Cyber Gallifreyans.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot about that kind of subplot that I don't really, that doesn't quite add up to me. One of those things is purely aesthetic. I don't know why, if you build Cybermen out of Time Lord corpses, they suddenly feel a need to put on big collars and capes.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, that was a little bit much.
Those will make great Funko Pop figures. I will say that.
I do want to see a good cosplay at Dragon Con.
Oh, God, yes. That would be amazing to see. But yeah, I think that totally fell flat with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and once again, you know, Moffat did everything in his power to bring back Gallifrey. Now, Chibnall got rid of it again.
Yeah.
And, you know, RTD brought it, destroyed it. And it's just like, and so whoever is going to be the showrunner next will bring it back.
Yeah, it's a big retread. It's, you know, covering ground we've already covered.
Mm-hmm. They didn't need to go there.
Yeah. And I don't think that to me, it was just too soon to have another season with the Master. You know, it hasn't been that long since Missy's been gone, and bringing in this Master really kind of almost negated the whole 3-season plot that we had with Missy, where she did question her motives. And I just thought that whole 3-season arc with her was fabulous. And so now we have, you know, another angry, crazy, evil Master again, which is fine. I just think that it should have been a little bit more time before that happened again.
Well, I'm having a feeling that this Master is before Missy.
I don't know.
You know, but you can never go what order the Master's in anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's not something they'll ever address. So, you know,
no, not at all.
It's perfectly fine if that fits your, you know, your personal canon, but it'll never be official in the show. They'll never bother with that.
No. And, you know, but I will give you this. They had the biggest surprise this season, and mm-hmm. that, of course, was Ruth Doctor,
mm-hmm.
and which was blew our mind because they said when they said something big is going to happen in this episode, and I thought it was just Captain Jack coming back for a few minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love how they pulled that over, and nobody blew it. Nobody leaked it.
I know, and that is a big change from the last couple of Moffat seasons, where every big thing they used as a promotional item, the return of the Master, that whole thing was set up, and even the Cybermen, but the return of the Master, that whole moment where he pulls off his mask and unveils who he is, you could see Rachel Talalay, the director, building to that moment so carefully and so methodically, and it was an incredible moment. Had we not known 4 months earlier that the Master was returning, that would have been the biggest moment of the season. As it was, you're like, why bother trying to build this suspense when we've known for 4 months that he's going to be there?
Exactly.
So the fact that in the Chibnall's period, they do seem to be taking a very different tack toward keeping secrets secret. And that's something I am greatly appreciative of.
No, exactly. And that's one of the nice things about what they're doing is they're keeping things very close to the vest.
Yeah.
You know, and even the first two-parter, when they revealed that the agent was actually the Master,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I didn't know that was coming.
No, exactly. That was a cool moment too.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I love how they did it. You know, how they say spy Master.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and the look on the doctor's face, not getting it quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this about the season. I thought Jodi was brilliant. I thought she was great.
Absolutely. I thought she was in her first season. I really, really like her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of tough because you have somebody like Jo Martin step in and almost steals your show away from you. But I think that's the way, at least partly, it's how the part was written. But I think Jodi's fantastic, and I'd be happy if she stayed around for, you know, a while. I enjoy her.
Mm, I do too. And there's too many people who are starting to blame her for the bad story.
But see, I knew that's what would happen. If you finally got a woman in the lead role, then if anything else around her went wrong, she would be the one who would take the blame for it, no matter how good she was. And that's kind of what's happened. And I really, really feel bad for her and for the show that's what's happened. And for, you know, fans who are into this, and especially for women who have like celebrated this, the moment where she did the unveil and pulled off her hoodie and there she was, the first female doctor. I just, man, it's just a crime that she's taking the heat for some of this stuff because it's not her fault.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It isn't.
She was phenomenal in Spyfall. There was a scene where, and I think it was at the end of the first episode, where she confronts, I can't even remember the guy's name, but the big villain of the piece, the one who's kind of behind the invasion of these, you know, other alien things. And they're at the party at his house, and she just walks up to him and says, "Look, I know what you're doing. I know you're in league with these aliens." And he tries to play it off, and she just comes right at him. And I thought she was so fantastic in that.
No, I think that's totally awesome. And she was great. What do you think of the whole thing with the timeless child?
I think it's a huge mess. However, I don't think it's necessarily bad. You know, the whole idea of there being pre-Hartnell doctors has been around for, you know, a long time, since the 90s, at least in the novels. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, I just don't know what the point of it is. I don't see what impact doing this big unveiling is going to have on the show. Like, what do you do with it now that it's out there? How is the show going to change? Or, you know, is this going to change the character of the doctor? Does this really, because something that big, it's going to have an impact on you. So how does the doctor go forward from this? Or will she?
I don't want to.
If she doesn't, what's the point?
Exactly. I don't want to have the whole next season being her to search about her past lives or something.
But see, like that would be fine. I would be okay with that, as long as what they've done in these episodes has meaning. You know, the sort of the flip side of this is the cyber lords. If you're gonna do the big step of taking Cybermen, they invade Gallifrey. They, you know, assimilate, you know, Time Lord corpses and become something completely new and different, then do something with it. Don't end it in the same episode. You know, it's like, I'm on a rant now. It's like when RTD did the whole thing, you know, the first time ever that the Cybermen and the Daleks meet. And all they do is sort of like, you know, smack talk each other. And it was so pointless. If you're going to finally do that, then do something with it. You know, don't make it a throwaway thing. And that's all this, you know, Cyber Lord stuff was. It was a throwaway thing. And it was wrapped up so ridiculously easily with this, you know, whoever this guy was who just runs in the room and says, "Oh, by the way, I've done all this stuff and I'll take your gun and I'm ready to die and I'll end all this and you go get in your TARDIS and, you know, head back to your companions." And it was just, it was inconsequential. And if you're going to do something monumental like that, don't make it inconsequential.
Nope, exactly.
Just my rant for the day.
Cool. That is perfect, Al. So you're still on board with Doctor Who then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Alan, so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's go wrap up our season 12 review. Thank you, everybody, who persevered with us. And it was awesome having you guys with us. And thank you, everyone, who sat in with us. But we're not done. You're not done by a far-reaching number of things. We have so much stuff that we have planned for you guys throughout the next probably 9 months, 10 months, until we get new Doctor Who. And it's only going to be one episode, folks. And it's going to be interesting to see what actually happens now that with the coronavirus and stuff, and, you know, all these production houses shutting down and everything, is that going to push Doctor Who even further back?
No, that's a good question.
Exactly. So I'm very curious to see what happens. You know, we might not, there's a chance, dare I say it, that we might not get Doctor Who back till late 2021. And that's a lot of filling in for us to do. But we'll be here, but we're going to go back to our old schedule of every other week. And as always, we'll have the same crew with us. So, of course, let's thank Mr. Mike.
As always, it's my pleasure.
And Mary.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was another great season to talk about.
And like I said, we're not done. We're going to be back in 2 weeks when we've got a very special April 1st episode for you. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's just talking about our favorite new companion. That's all we'll talk about. So it should be interesting to do. But until then, my name is Mike Faber. We will see you here next time on the Earth Station Who podcast. Peace. And we are done.
Woohoo.
No, we're not. We're not done by a long shot. You just said so.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough... the tough get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
You have been listening to Earth Station Who, a bi-weekly pop culture podcast dedicated to all things Doctor Who, featuring talents from across the universe. All topics on the show are the sole opinions of the individual and are used for entertainment value alone. You can subscribe to our podcast up on iTunes, Stitcher, or follow our blog at www.esopodcast.com. You can also follow us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+. If you enjoyed the show, please leave feedback up on iTunes.
You have 30 seconds to describe Thunder Talk.
It's pop culture.
With a twist.
It's music.
LGBTQ+.
And comedy.
Well, dark comedy.
It's nerd junk.
It's comic books.
Video games.
Conventions.
Yeah, nerd junk.
And social commentary.
It's woke, yo.
Yeah, and nerd junk.
Woke nerd junk.
Thunder Talk is all over the place.
Every place you want to be.
Thunder Talk is a proud member of the ESO Network. Find us at thundertalk.org and download us on all podcast platforms.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.